And it's particularly fraught for those of us who are women. I believe a study was done a number of years ago that says there's about 100 million women missing on the planet, given birth rates, population distributions, etc. I saw a documentary a number of years ago, quite frank, about infanticide, girl infanticide in India, where the culture is, we can only sustain so many children in the family, and we can't keep all the girls we birth. China's one-child policy, coupled with their cultural norms, has led to, excuse me, has led to the possibility that by the year 2020, there'll be 10 million unmarriageable men in China because there aren't enough women. Their culture says that the son takes care of the parents in their old age, and the daughter takes care of her husband's parents. So everybody wants a boy to take care of them in their old age. Then how do we get rid of the population? Do the 10 million unmarriageable men in China then end up being expended in a war?
Yeah, see, this is something that that we as a species have not found a good way of dealing with yet. And it's something that we need to be turning our humane creativity toward, this question of how to maintain our numbers within the ecological carrying capacity of our environments. If we are in fact an intelligent species with the ability to overcome mere genetic programming, well, this is the way to prove it. Because otherwise, unfortunately, I'm afraid that population control will happen through the tried and true means of famine, pestilence, and war, which is not the outcome that any of us would want to see.
Okay, so let's go towards the end of your book. There are some things here. I mean, you talk about, I think, the things everybody knows about alternative fuels and conservation and those other things, doing things by hand rather than by power tools. But what about, here's one I got. Saving seed is a time-honored traditional craft. We are up against this intellectual property regime where they're suing people who are accidentally growing the genetically modified stuff that blew over to their farmland.
You've been talking to Percy Schmeiser.
Not yet, but this whole idea of we've got people pushing organic farming, but we've got these other corporations that are trying to create Terminator seeds that will only grow for one generation, and you have to use their chemical inputs. Right now, they seem to have more of the economic clout. The guy up in Canada lost the case.
That's right. Well, his case is going to the Canadian Supreme Court, and hopefully we'll get a better outcome there. But you're absolutely right. The Monsantos of this world have tremendous economic clout and therefore political clout. Nevertheless, I think it's important for those of us who have some understanding of what's coming down the pipeline to take advantage of the skills and resources that are still present before those are completely cannibalized by the corporate industrial system, which is really only going to persist for another few decades. And then we'll be left back with whatever resources we've been able to salvage. So let's salvage those resources now before they're gone. And one of those resources is seeds, the seeds of open-pollinated heirloom varieties, particularly. We should be growing those in our backyards and saving them and trading them. I think this is one of the most important forms of political activism, the retention and the cultivation of these important skills. Also, skills around what's called primitive technology. I've gone to some workshops. I'm not an expert in this area myself, but going to some workshops with people who are expert in making string out of wild plant material and making bows and arrows and stone implements, essentially the way our ancestors were doing 10,000 years ago. And it sounds sounds bizarre to those of us who live in urban environments that anybody would even want to be doing such a thing. But it's amazing how empowering, personally empowering, that kind of knowledge is. You know, one thing that the living in industrial society has done for us is to disempower us at really fundamental, almost biological levels. How many of us really know how to survive in the wilderness? How many of us know how to feed and clothe and house ourselves absent the industrial system? And because we're so dependent on that system, therefore we tend to look the other way when that system does things that we would otherwise find morally repugnant, like destroying indigenous societies around the world, or polluting the natural world, or resulting in the extinction of innumerable species. We look the other way because we know we're dependent on that system, and if that system were to go, we would go. Well, we're going to have to find ways of weaning ourselves personally from that system, and cultivating those kinds of basic life support skills, I think, is part of that. Now, I'm not advocating survivalism. You know, we should all go out and get shotguns or even bows and arrows and defend the backyard vegetable patch from possible marauders. I think we need to be considering how we can revitalize our local communities as well and create community food reliance and food security, support our local economies, and create, for example, public power co-ops that are based on renewable energies. It's going to be at the local level where the real survival and revitalization of culture is going to happen. We need to be working at a national level on policy issues, absolutely, but that's not the only level. We also need to be working at the level of our own homes and families, and at the community level as well.